views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Hello, I'm Chris Stainis, the host of Voices of Women on Transformation Talk Radio. So now we're getting into the last month of all the political talks. And of course, one thing that has everyone concerned is our economy. And as we listen to everyone, we have to discern who has that best ability to move us forward. And money is an important issue these days for many of us. We all know people who are out of work and struggling to make ends meet. And all too often, we look for answers from the government, from politicians. We'll blame them, expect them to solve our problems, and get mad when they don't, and all that. But I think the answers lie within ourselves, what we can do to improve our situation, not so much what the politicians will do, although, yes, it affects us. So as far as voting goes, I say follow those who you have similar values as you do, because that's who you can trust. And this relates to my guest today, Patricia Aberdeen, the author of Conscious Money. Patricia states that with moral public outrage building over corporate abuses, a new socially conscious economic system is growing in both importance and popularity. How we spend our money is more vital than ever, both for our own well-being and that of the world. Patricia is a leading social forecaster, best-selling author, sought-after speaker, and authority on conscious money. She collaborated with John Nesbitt on the publishing phenomenon Megatrends, which sold millions of copies and topped the charts in the U.S., Germany, and Japan. And she co-authored the number one New York Times bestseller, Megatrends 2000, the New York Times bestseller, Reinventing the Corporation, and was the lead author on Megatrends for Women. In her new book, Conscious Money, Patricia offers a new economic system fueled by human ideals, greater awareness, and higher consciousness. It's time for people to discover their natural gifts, expand on-the-job creativity, grow income through conscious practices, and help change the world along the way. And you can read all about Patricia on her website at www.patriciaaberdeen.com, and that's A-B-U-R-D-E-N-E is how you spell her last name. So welcome, Patricia, to Voices of Women.
Oh, Chris, I'm so delighted to be with you. And I loved what you said about politics and the economy, and I really agree with you. It's up to us to make our own way in this world of ours, and that's one of the most important things in conscious money.
Yeah, and in your book, you do so much. It's so much inner work. You know, you think you're going to read a book about how to make money, or you know, all the prosperity books is all about how to increase your net profits or whatever. But so you have a different book. But first, I want to get your story of how you even got interested in this financial world.
Well, you talked about some of the things that I did earlier in my life, writing the Megatrends books with John Nesbitt, and I came to a place in my life where I was very successful and very comfortable financially. And I was a very spiritual person at the time also, but I did not have a great relationship with money. I spent money too much and didn't feel a sense of satisfaction when I did. I made some very big mistakes in investing, and the biggest mistakes I made had to do when I over-relied on so-called experts instead of looking within to see what I really wanted to do with my money. And I really wanted to experience earning my money with greater creativity and greater connection with consciousness. And yet, I felt I was sort of stuck in my mind, in a sense, also. And I gave money away, but sometimes I was motivated more by guilt than joy or contribution. So I decided that my money life really needed to reflect more of my own inner life. And so I asked a question of myself. I said, what if the right financial decision were also the right inner decision? What might that look like? And I didn't know what to expect, so I just sort of held it as a question like that. And gradually over time, I came to, I guess you could say, make choices that honored both my head and my heart. Choices that were based on my values, that would be the heart part, and yet based on sound financial choices, that would be the head part. And it really changed my life. In all of those areas that I just described, I got much smarter about investing. Overspending just became absolutely ridiculous. Why would I even do that? And as I grew in consciousness, the doors to greater intuition and creativity opened, so that that infused my work more, and that made work a lot more fun and a lot more enjoyable. So gradually, I discovered the power of conscious money, and I wanted to write about it and to share that journey with people. At the same time, I was working as a journalist and writing Megatrends books, so I had my feet firmly in the economic world and in the business world, and so I combined sort of my inner life and my spiritual life with my outer world life, and that's kind of a metaphor for what conscious money is all about.
Yes, I agree, and that's great for you to be an example of that and to share your. I know in your book you share your experiences, what you went through and how you do that, and we're going to go into some of that today on the show. It's interesting you talk about. You made conscious choices. So when you started doing this inner work, you started, you know, it's like matching your inner world with your outer world. You start making those conscious choices. Like when I'm, and some of that I think has to do with goals. Like when I decided I was going to travel around the world in 1982, we left in 83. I started, every time I was in the store, I'd look at something like, do I really want this? Do I need it? Will I really use it? And I, you know, more than 50% of things I would put down. And then I saved money. When my paychecks came in, I put away X dollars every month, and it wasn't available to me. And so, you know, within a year, I saved quite a bit of money and was able to take off. Actually, it ended up being 3 years. But it was really paying attention to. Sometimes we do unconscious buying. You know, those quick purchases at the checkout counter. You know, you see these things, and you go, "Oh, that's neat." You buy it, and how many things? I can look at my house, like all the things in here that I don't need or even want anymore, and the amount of money that's sitting here in my house is ridiculous.
Well, that's a great story of conscious money, and I can tell why you were interested in having me on your show, because you already practice it.
Well, I wish I practiced better. Like I said, my house is full of and I really don't want things anymore. And if you look at the things in your house, and I'm sure we all do this, we could go, there's a lot of money sitting here that I didn't need to spend. And sometimes we're trying to fill something in ourselves to, you know, make us feel good. And so if we really realize that, and there's times when we just have to treat ourselves too, and to know when it's okay to do that. I mean, those are those choices.
I think you've just explained it really well. One of the ways that I would explain conscious money in a general way would be to say it is about having a positive, life-affirming relationship with money in all of your roles as an earner, as a shopper, as you just explained, as an investor, and as a contributor. It's about this positive relationship. And as your story suggests, we create this positive relationship with money when we get clear on what our values are. You have the value, or I guess you could call it, if you're talking about transcendental values, maybe your trip was maybe about freedom or adventure or something mind-expanding like that. That value became more important to you than having something that wasn't meaningful in your life. And so that's why we create this positive relationship when we get clear on what our values are and when we allow those values to shape our financial decisions while observing sound financial principles.
Yes, it's really linking those two. And I love it. That's the first thing in your book you talk about, and you have people work on their values. And when we get in alignment with our values, you know.
There's an exercise right in the first chapter, and I've done a couple of workshops where people do it. You know, people talk about values, but very few of us sit down and clearly identify what our most deeply held values are. And in the three workshops that I've done it in, people have really found it enjoyable and illuminating to try to pick their absolute top value.
Yes, and we're going to talk more about this subject when we come back. You're listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis and Patricia Aberdeen. We'll be right back.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard, each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com. Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show. Check out Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley on TTRNetwork.com.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world to find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. Visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your free 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams. Or to schedule your soul breakthrough session with Saskia, call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861.
Have you ever considered what money and sex have in common? Brenda St. Louis, founder of Know That You Know, explores the energies of debt, money, sex, and our bodies. In her four-week intensive Debt Into Delight, Getting Intimate with Your Digits, she tickles all those places we don't want to look at, infusing everything with exuberance. Would you be willing to have more money? Would you be willing to have more of you? Explore more of Brenda St. Louis at knowthatyouknow.com.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Patricia Aberdeen today, who's the author of Conscious Money. So we were just talking about values and connecting our values and our money. And you were just stating, like, in your book, you have an exercise of how people can determine their top values. Can you give people a little taste of what that exercise is? Because maybe they could do some home today.
Absolutely. Let's do it. First, I'd like to, before we do that, let me just say why I think values are so important, because in a way, you know, some of our listeners might be thinking, oh, she's talking so idealistically. It doesn't really sound practical. But look at it this way. Values shape our choices. And the topic of choice came up earlier in our conversation when you talked about the decisions in your spending. Values shape our choices, and our choices write the story of our life and our money life. But at the same time, conventional money wisdom, if you want to call it that, believes that values have no role in our finances, that we're supposed to be strictly mental and tough about money. I think it's important to be smart about money. My mantra is heart and head, heart and head. But you also have to be wise about money, and that's what you can be when you allow these values to shape your decisions. So here's how it works with this little exercise that people seem to enjoy. I have a handout that lists a whole bunch of values. I'm not going to be able to read them all, but let me read a few of them so people can jot them down and kind of get the idea. And then I also tell people, you know, these are by no means, these are only sample values. This list may not even include the top values that you treasure most highly. I mean, how many times can you use values in a sentence? But, you know, and I also want to make the point that our values are composed of both, comprise both transcendental values, really profoundly spiritual values, human values, and also practical values. I mean, we're talking about practical things here. So some sample values might be beauty, discipline, efficiency, faith, freedom, love, loyalty, meaning, harmony, self-respect, security, tolerance, and my favorite, resilience. I did this, as I said, I did this, and some people added their own, quite a few people added their own. I didn't, as it turned out, I didn't have the value of kindness on the list, and that was an oversight on my part, but the person added it to their list and chose that as their top value. And some of the popular ones that came up for people were love. A lot of people mentioned love. Integrity was very popular. Faith was very popular. And so, Chris, adding your own values, what do you think yours might be? And first, I ask people to maybe check off five. It's a handout. They're not going to mark up a library book or anything. Just check off maybe your top five, and then try to reduce it to three, and then try to reduce it to the first one. And sometimes people will say, I can't choose one, I have a tie, and that's great too. So what about you? What do you think, guess that maybe your top value might be?
Well, I don't know about the top. Me choosing one thing is very hard.
Yeah.
You know, several are, you know, like personal growth and loyalty and trust, mm-hmm. discipline, yep. creativity, yep. community,
yep.
accountability, all those are important to me. So picking one, I'd have to do the exercise the way, you know,
yeah.
the way you do that.
Take your time and do it. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, to get it down to, well, what is the one?
Yep, yep. Well, I will just share with you that I was kind of surprised when I did this exercise myself many decades ago, that my top one came out to be resilience. You know, I thought it was going to be love or compassion or some sort of a transcendental, but it was resilience. And I thought, well, that was weird. But then when I thought about it, it wasn't, because I thought, well, how can I practice any of those other values if I can't pick myself up off the floor after a big disappointment? So, and to this day, I would have to say resilience is a top value of mine, and it happens to be I think you'd call it a practical value. Another one that isn't a top value of mine, but that I truly admire is resourcefulness. I have friends that I can say, wow, they are really resourceful. They seem to pull solutions out of a hat. So that's one I value very much. Also, loyalty I value very much as well. So those are the values. And then the second part of the exercise is to think about how your top value might shape some of your financial decisions and choices.
So I'm thinking, yeah, and that can be hard to do, because it's how do you translate that, say you're investing, to companies? Perhaps you can give an example.
Yeah, if your top value is sustainability, if your top value is social justice, then that's going to be a lot easier to translate into a choice. But maybe your top value is love, in which case, you know, you might be interested in researching Southwest Airlines, which has done very well over time, and that is their top, that's their top value.
So that gets us into how do you find the company's top value?
Yes,
involves research.
Yes, and what you're bringing us to now is the second most important point about conscious money. The first being conscious money starts within, not with your stock portfolio, not with your savings account, not even with your expenses, but it starts within you, with your values, and also with your thoughts, your recurrent thoughts, feelings, and beliefs about money. So then step two is, how do you recognize a company that you might want to do business with? You know, a lot of folks, they say they're not very interested in business, but everyone shops and everybody works. And so I think, and if you plan to invest, which, I mean, even if you, more than 50% of Americans own investments, so at some point you're probably going to have some kind of a retirement account that has to be invested in some kind of a way. And in all of these cases, you want to choose companies whose values are most like your own. And you don't discover those values necessarily by looking at what a company's stated values are. I mean, I think in the case of Southwest Airlines, I think it's fair to say that they do observe that value pretty well. Same thing with Whole Foods and its commitment to health and sustainability. I mean, it's absolutely emblematic of what that company stands for. But I think the way that you really discover the values of a company are to look at the three characteristics of what I call conscious capitalism, or conscious business, if you'd like to call it that. And the first characteristic is this a company that's committed to business, to all of the people who make a contribution to a business? Now, some traditional capitalist firms absolutely insist that shareholders or investors are more important than customers and employees. And I would suggest if you have a conscious money practice, if you want to practice conscious money, that you avoid that kind of company. You want a company that honors and respects its employees, that does a great job for customers, and also that's a good investment. You want the good values as well as the good sound finances. It's, again, it's like the heart and the head being on the same page. So those companies, by the way, also do well for their investors. There was a study that came out from a professor at Bentley College in Massachusetts, which studied 28 companies whose names you and I would know. Again, Southwest Airlines, Whole Foods, Costco, very good company, very holistic company. Many more of them, Google, Honda, companies that are known for managing in this with the whole picture, with the big picture of everybody who's involved. And over a 10-year period, these companies outperformed the S&P 500, not by a little bit, by an enormous percent. And I should say the S&P 500 are the 500 largest companies in the U.S., and it's often used as a benchmark against which a company or a mutual fund would measure itself. So over 10 years, the S&P 500 was up 100%, but these 28 conscious companies were up 1,000%. Absolutely huge, huge, huge differential, a factor of 10, as they say in mathematics. So, you know, this is something that John Mackey, the CEO of Whole Foods, calls the paradox of profit. When you don't manage just to create profit, you can actually benefit your investors even more.
Yes, that's so true. And that's something that I'm working on in my new business of working with companies, which is, you know, the dialogues and communication between the teams of co-creating solutions to problems so that everybody's on board. And that way you are going to have happy employees, people who want to contribute and make the company even better. And so it makes sense that these companies are doing 1,000% and more than just the standard corporation that's driven by shareholders and the profit margins, which is our idea of corporations. That's our picture of American corporations, unfortunately.
Oh, it is our picture. But, you know, that is changing over time, and especially in the last decade after 1, 2, 3, 4 serious financial crises. People are thinking in new ways about business, and the real coup de grace, so to speak, was the subprime crisis. Really, it really gets people questioning our economic institutions, questioning Wall Street, questioning Madison Avenue. I mean, there's a lot being called into question about money in our society now, and several people have said to me, you know, your book couldn't have come out really at a better time because people are looking for new solutions and new ways to think about things. And conscious money is a new mindset. It's a new way to think about money. And so throughout the book, I have lots of exercises, lots of checklists, lots of ways to kind of practice the new ideas that you are learning in the book. So it's a workbook as well as a book.
That's great. Well, after we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about conscious money with Patricia Aberdeen.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to The Sean and Jen Show, Soul Path Insights Radio, each Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with Sean and Jen will have you saying yes to as much abundance as you desire. Imagine a happier soul, radiating energy in all areas of your life. Get ready to understand the meaning and the message in your life. Shift obstacles to opulence. Experience powerful, intuitive coaching, live readings, and transformative tools as Sean and Jen dare you to live your best life.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to aspiremag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Just stop what you are thinking right now and ask yourself, if I could have anything I desired, what would it be? Now expand that energy beyond anything you have ever imagined. That energy, that is you. What if you could have access to that all the time? Curing the incurable are for those that desire a different possibility with their life and their body. Does that excite your molecules? Well, check out Liam's website at liamphillips.com.
Tune in each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy-free.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit us at drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and we've been talking about conscious money with Patricia Aberdeen. Patricia, before we start, can you give your contact information where people can find your book and find you?
Well, you can find them all on my website, find everything on my website. It is www.patriciaaberdeen.com, and my last name is spelled in a slightly different way. It's spelled A, B as in boy, U, R, D, E, N, E. It's pronounced like Aberdeen, Scotland, but it's spelled differently. So one more time, it's A, B, U, R, D, E, N, E. But you know, I think if you Google it and spell it wrong, you know how smart that Google it search engine.
Oh yeah, or even just
you'll
put
probably
in conscious
find me.
Conscious money,
you'll probably
find you.
Yeah, you could do exactly true, exactly so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to make just add something, if I might, about to some of the things that we talked about earlier. I don't want to give the impression that this is just all about altruism. One of the things that people criticize about capitalism is if you're from an altruistic perspective, is that it's too much about self-interest. And actually, I think self-interest is fine up to a point, up to a point. But if you become so self-interested that you start to betray your inner values, you set up a very negative inner dynamic to yourself. I'm not judging it from any kind of a moralistic point of view, but within yourself you set up an inner dynamic that's just not useful. It divides you in half, and it saps your energy, and it distorts your better judgment. So all these people who think, you know, I'm up for number one, I'm taking care of number one, and I'm making my money judgments, and, you know, at some point, someplace within themselves, they are violating some values that are important to them. So you have to, again, honor heart and head and have them in some kind of harmonic balance.
Well, and I think in your book you talk about the shadow, don't you? I mean, there's always a shadow within us of, you know, unconscious things that come to the surface sometimes, but sometimes we're not aware of them, and they're running the show more than what we're consciously trying to run. Isn't that true?
I'm so glad you brought that up. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine.
You know, just like just as values influence us from the positive side of the polarity, we all have negative or limiting, at least, beliefs and thoughts about money. And these often involve the shadow. Carl Jung talked about the shadow as the psychological dumping ground of all sorts of characteristics that we can't respect or love within ourselves. And just as we all have a shadow, we all have a money shadow. We all have these old sayings about money that are kind of rattling around in the back of our mind. We all have, usually almost all have, pretty strong emotions about money. And these can often involve the money shadow. And it's a pretty good bet that some core issues in the money shadow would be fear. In some cases, extravagance, or its opposite, stinginess. You know, we talked about maybe being extravagant and buying too many things. Well, there's also the opposite polarity of stinginess and being and not being generous with money. That has a dynamic too. And then, of course, the other one is greed. And we tend to have this simplistic idea that all of the bad people have a shadow that's about greed, and all of the good people have a shadow that's about fear. But I think it goes quite a bit deeper than that. And so the question arises, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about your negative beliefs, like money is the root of all evil, or money doesn't grow on trees, or anything like that? And I think what I advise people to do is three simple steps, really. First of all, just recognize you have a shadow. Recognize these thoughts that are going on in your head. And, of course, that requires self-observation. And how do you observe yourself? You just make a choice. You just make a choice that you're going to listen to the thoughts that are going on in your head. And, you know, when I do that, I go, oh, my God, listen to you. Wow, that's crazy what you're saying, what you're repeating again and again. And then, you know, before you try to change anything, you have to do something that's really hard, which is you've just got to accept yourself. You've got to accept that all of us have these ideas and these thoughts, and they're part of our conditioning, and that's it. We have to still love ourselves. And then as we come to accept these parts of ourselves gradually and over time, then we come to a powerful place where we can choose and to decide, well, how do I want to feel about money? How do I want to feel about, say, a relationship if you were operating in a different sphere? What are the kinds of thoughts that I'd like to have in my head? And then gradually you can start to substitute some of your limiting thoughts with thoughts that you'd like to have, and practice, and you have to practice it. And gradually over time, you will change your reality, as all the great teachers of self-mastery tell us.
Yes, and it's about paying attention to what your thoughts are. And
exactly,
we don't pay attention, and we don't really realize, you know, this day's been running on those negative thoughts. Because we're in survival or whatever, but you can change your whole survival dynamic by being aware of your thoughts moving to a more positive direction. And
let me give you an example, and it's just a relatively gentle example. For example, you might be the kind of person who says, I hate to do my bills. I hate to pay my bills. And, you know, you can imagine what sort of a negative dynamic that can start. First of all, you get yourself in a bad mood, and you're not in a place of prosperity or abundance. You're not having a positive thought. And you probably feel perfectly justified in having this reaction. But if you say to yourself, you should start with a small one like that rather than a big one, and say to yourself, well, all right, how do I really want to pay my bills? And you make a choice. You say something like, for example, I'm going to play some nice music that I like while I do my bills, and I'm going to maybe put some flowers on my desk when I do them, and I'm going to, you know, turn this from a dreaded episode to a kind of a prosperity sort of ritual. And that's just a small thing, and then you work your way up to bigger things, like a big one, like a recurring thought of, I don't have enough money, or I will never have enough money, or something like that. So start with small things. Remember the three steps. First step is recognize, or pay attention, as you said. The second step is accept and love yourself, even though you have these thoughts. And the third, over time, replace them, still accepting them, not rejecting them, with how you'd like it to be.
Yes, and so that's that inner work of knowing, which matching your values. What do you want? How do you want it to be?
Yes, and that's why values come up being important again and again. But, you know, it's important to acknowledge the shadow part, because we are human beings and we are comprised of both lightness and shadow, and that's just how it goes. And if we do that inner work on the shadow, Jung tells us that you cannot be fully human unless you integrate the shadow into your into yourself, which is part of the process of individualization, as he calls it. And then the other thing to remember as you're doing the shadow work, which is challenging, no doubt about it, is that as you begin to integrate that shadow, you get a big reward, a big payoff, which is all the energy you use to repress your shadow is liberated for creativity and growing abundance and all kinds of positive things.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because I was going to bring up creativity, because you say that's a primary factor that generates success and wealth creation. So talk a little more about creativity.
Well, I'm going to start with an amazing study, because I have my ideas about this, but as a former librarian, what I really love to do is the research to say, ha-ha, I'm not the only one that thinks this big company or whatever does too. So IBM did a study a few years ago of 1,500 global CEOs, and it asked them, what is the trait that you think is most important when you hire someone. And you'd expect them to say marketing or financial expertise or managerial expertise. No. They said the most important trait they look for is creativity. Now, why would that be? Well, because the world that we live in has grown so complex that the challenges that we face require solutions that are more than, that engage more than the rational and the logical part of our mind. We need those parts of our mind very, very much. But we also need to draw on the more creative side of ourselves and to find these new solutions. And this made sense to me because the way I've been talking about this shift is as an economic shift. In fact, in my Megatrends 2010 book, which was about the what I call the rise of conscious capitalism, I talked about the shift. When John Nesbitt and I were writing the Megatrends books, we talked about how we had shifted from an industrial society or an industrial economy based on cars, engines, etc., to an information economy where we created wealth and we created new jobs as a society through information. And
so I have to stop you here, and we'll come back and finish that thought. This is Christine on Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more with Patricia Aberdeen.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible. To help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks. Powerful, inspiring. They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their life.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on Transformation Talk Radio.
Join Lisa Kay, international business consultant and mentor, and host of the hit show Success and Empowerment, as she combines a voracious appetite for learning and a life mission to understand and simplify the complex as she delivers a recipe for your unique talent. Lisa's intuitive ability to ask the right question has set her apart as she engages the most inspiring people in the world to tell their story. Tune in each Tuesday at 2 Pacific at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm talking with Patricia Aberdeen, and she's the author of Conscious Money. And she was just starting to share with us about the economic periods that we've been going through. And so can you tell us about where we are now?
Well, briefly, we started off in the agricultural period, then we went to the industrial period, and then we went to the information period. And I believe, and many other people do too, that the information era is drawing to a close and that there's a new era that in which we create new jobs and we create new wealth through the power of consciousness. I call it the new economy of consciousness. And that's why IBM, as I said in our previous segment, discovered that creativity was the top trait they wanted in people, because things had changed so much, the world was so complex, that we needed to have more and more creative people. This is very similar to what Dan Pink talks about when he talks about the future belongs to people who are right-brained. It's a very similar kind of thing. And so how do you succeed with this creativity? I believe that each one of us is responsible for investing in our own creativity. And curiously, many of us have developed a lot of it through personal growth, which is the theme that you talked about earlier. I mean, whether you are involved in martial arts or yoga or meditation, you are growing this connection to higher consciousness that becomes your funnel that creativity can come through. And so I advise people to create a mindful practice, like one of those or another one. Maybe you just walk in nature. That's a mindful practice. And then have a period in between that and when you go back to normal consciousness, so you can remember the insights, the creative insights that came to you during that mindful practice. And then finally, I think you should collect those thoughts, all that inspiration that comes to us through some kind of journaling. I think that you think that you're going to remember the gems that come to you in an altered state. Most of the time you forget them. So after meditation, you should be quiet and collect your thoughts and then do some journaling and capture the insights that you had. And to apply this to work, what you're doing is you're applying this to creative problem solving. That's why creativity is so important in the job world today.
Oh, yes, that's what makes it exciting. I love the creative process, and I love co-creating and being with other people, and because it's not just my ideas that are coming forward. They expand when I'm with other people, because we all add to this collective process. And that's what we do at Women of Wisdom and creating our organization and our events and our conference is this co-creative. Our meetings are held that way. And so everybody is, I may think it should be this way, and I come in, here's my ideas, and yet it just grows from there because everybody's putting their creative juices into it too. And I don't know how many places.
That sounds so great.
Yeah, and I don't know how many places of work have that ability. I think some do now, and we're moving to that direction, but I think a lot of people still feel stifled and don't feel like they are contributing to the company or that their voice is heard. And so also as a way to find, to discover, I think, is how can I get my voice out there to where I'm working and be heard and feel like I'm contributing these creative ideas. And so it's I think it's also paying attention of how you can open the doors to conversations to allow this to happen.
And how would you do that? I mean, this sounds like something that you've thought a lot about, and I'm going to turn the tables on you, because I would love to hear how you do that, because I'd like to learn how to be more like that myself.
Well, I just changed the organization, because I was the executive director of the organization, and I changed it to a circle leadership. But, you know, so we have the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Other companies, they don't have that infrastructure. And so I think for somebody who works in that situation, it's finding someone they can trust. Like, pay attention in your company. Like, just in conversations, prick ears for what people are saying and see if somebody with similar values to you and then take them out to lunch and have a conversation like, wow, I was thinking this, I had this idea. Do you think the company might be interested? Or, you know, we've been doing this way and I'm seeing problems and I have this idea, and just not in a way like you expect them to change or that they, and be angry if they don't hear you, but find that trusted ear, that somebody who would listen and you know, you just, you don't know where it might go.
So that's step four. After you get your creative problem solving, then you learn how to identify possible allies. That's what it sounds like you were talking about, and bring your idea forward, and that's fantastic. I mean, what you just did was build on my idea, and now we have, you know, a richer kind of intelligence here that's operating. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too is in meetings, you know, there's often the loud voice and the people who always share and always talk, and the quiet person doesn't feel like they have a place to speak up, or they process things slower. So when they're ready to voice their opinion, the meeting's over. And there's, you know, that happens. And there's ways to deal with that, of just interjecting and say, let's hear from other people. That's a great idea. I love what you said. How about what do other people think of it? And that gives people who haven't been speaking a chance to talk.
Absolutely, absolutely. And being a journaling fanatic myself in all of my workshops, I make sure that there's equal amount of talking and sharing and contemplative stuff and writing things down. So a lot of times the less extroverted people get value out of writing things down, and the more introverted people get value out of that too, instead of just listening to themselves talk.
Yes. So what would you like to... parting words with people of what you want to share, what you want people to get out of your book, and you know, you've written a book, I think, you know, it's also a purpose of, you want to change the world, like a lot of us do. So,
I'm glad we're ending with that, because I haven't emphasized that dimension. I introduced it at the beginning of the book because it's really important to say that conscious money also means that as we spend, as we earn, as we invest, and as we contribute with that greater awareness that you and I referenced, we can make a difference. We can make a difference for ourselves, for others, and for the planet at large, at a time when people are very concerned with sustainability. And I think that's important, because we talked about spending. We as individuals have enormous power when it comes to changing the world, in the ways, especially in the ways that we spend and invest. And so you should be buying products that reflect your values, and avoiding and even boycotting products and companies that don't reflect your values. Obviously, if you feel strongly about something, you should not shop at a certain company that you feel isn't good to its customers or its employees or both. Or both.
So yeah, there's a lot of power in that. You know, there's a power in our Parker book, you know, because it will affect companies.
Great power in our pocketbook. There is great power in every financial decision we make, because what conscious money is really all about is bringing those inner values, that inner power, out into the marketplace. And in every financial decision that you have the potential to change the world. And if we're going to have a better world, we've got to get the financial piece down, because that's the platform on which we build the future of human evolution. So it is really important, and people want to do it, and I hope that conscious money, let me also mention the subtitle, Living, Working, and Investing with Your Values for a Sustainable New Prosperity. So if you really want to change the world, you've got to look at the financial dimension, and you've got to identify the power that you have to change your financial life and to change the finances, the global finances of this planet that we live on.
Yeah, so true. And at times we think, well, money's just evil and we don't want to deal with it. But the reality is, to put it in its proper position with ourselves, which is lining up with your values, as you said. Well, thank you so much for being with me today. It was great to talk to you.
Chris, it was totally my pleasure. I enjoyed our conversation so much. It was so delightful to have time. Sometimes I get a 3-minute interview, and it was just delightful to be able to take our time and talk about these topics. I appreciate it so much. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, and again, everybody check out our website, patriciaaberdeen.com, and that's A-B-U-R-D-E-N-E. Or Google Conscious Money, I'm sure you'll find her. So I wanted to leave everyone with this thought today. I invite you to take a look at your values this weekend and see if you can make conscious choices around your spending habits that will reflect your values more. So perhaps when you're shopping this weekend, Pay attention. This is Chris Danis, and I'm the founder of the Women Wisdom Conference and the organization, and also the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And I would love for you to check the book out. You can look at it on my website. My new website is chrysalisleadership.com, and that's spelled with a K-K-R-Y-S-L-A-I-S, chrysalisleadership.com. And you can purchase the book there or at the Woman of Wisdom website. And check out womanofwisdom.org. That's our website. We're going to be starting beginning of November. We'll have our conference information up, and we'll be having some specials. Right now, we know we have Starhawk coming and Normandy Ellis, and we're going to have the whole conference up on our website in November. And also, if you are a psychic healer, reader, tarot reader, astrology reader, our deadline for what we call our temple is November 21st. So you can get information on that on our website. So next week, I will be beginning to be talking to our Women of Wisdom presenters. So I'm excited about that. So join us again next Friday, 1 o'clock Pacific time. And everybody, have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, Radio with Chris Stainis.
I used to be afraid, and now I love. I feel like fear just cripples you and love frees you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and changing from fear to love and showing people that that's the only way. I love, I love, I love. I no longer fear. Thank you.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think that Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening, and keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Hello, everyone. This is Cosmic Connections with Madeline. This is Madeline Gerwig.
This is Saskia Roel. You're listening to Your Soul Guidance with me on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys. This is Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Success and Empowerment Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Alive and Shine with Adnan Savitri.
Hello, welcome.
Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Peggy Parker, and you're listening to Simple Solutions for Everyday Health.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christine Epchurch.
And I'm Sabrina Fritz.
And you are listening to Authenticity Rising.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Jeff Lineweaver, and you are listening to Dialogue Radio on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ